Ladies and gentlemen, the following radio event, truly one of the most unusual of its kind, contains material that may be too shocking and intense for some audience members. If you have a heart condition or are easily upset, we urgently recommend you exercise listener discretion and immediately turn your radio dial.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP.
Straighten up, boy. I'm gonna kick a mud hole in your backside and stomp a drop.
The whole world's gone crazy.
This whole thing makes me sick. You make me sick.
Radio people ought to do something about this. You know, it's just not right.
I'm so sure it's a radio thing.
Thank you. I want you, baby, to be my home. So come here and tell me that you love me so. Tell me, baby, that you'll be my home. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, all right. Thank you.
in Old Joe, New Jersey. So keep on listening. He's going to play some Hutchie song, rocker song, Shake It S.J. And Hutch that thing. We'll take a picture of the video when it come up there. So you all get ready. And if you don't, we can always go back eating more hot dog, and we'll cut your head off. You can't eat no more hot dog. We'll put it on the wall.
Oh, yes, indeed. Fool's Paradise here, Saturday evening tradition, what we like to call the two-hour excursion to nowhere. Very special program today. We're paying tribute to our friend, Hazel Atkins, who's been a big part of this radio station for a long time, and I've had the pleasure of having him on the show on three separate occasions. And we've been spinning Hazel's records here on FMU for, again, well over two decades. And we've got a whole bunch of special guests to pay tribute to the man. And in studio, we've got both halves of Norton Records, Billy and Miriam.
Hello.
Hello. And we got Joe Coleman, an admitted Hazel file.
Howdy.
Howdy. Well, welcome, everyone. And we got some special guests coming up later. We got Jesco. Had a chance to talk to him a couple days ago. He's got some remarkable insight on the man. And best of all, we're going to be playing lots of Hazel records and have a lot of special surprises. Some oddball things out of the Norton Archives, and going to be a special show. And I guess just kick it off with you guys, Billy and Miriam, because I don't think there'd be a Norton Records if it weren't for Hazel.
That's right. It's all his fault.
So... I mean, he was your first release, the first 45, the first LP.
Yeah. When we were doing articles in Kix magazine, we interviewed Hazel in the early 80s, and he just kept sending cassettes over and over, and wanting them to get released. And he kind of talked us into it. You know, I mean, it seems like a great idea now, but at the time it was like.
Daunting.
It was a pretty scary leap off a tall cliff.
Well, a lot of people were also asking, what the heck does he sound like, you know, because the images were so great in the photos and all the stories were so out of space, you know, so people wanted to hear what did he sound like. So, you know, with his prodding and people's demanding, took the jump.
Well, I guess from a record weasel perspective, you know, you dig through weird old 45s hoping to find something manic and bizarre.
Right.
And when you get a record like that, like the musical Lynn Twins or something, the next thought is like, how did this happen? Who are these people? Are they still around? And are they as wild as these records? And Hazel answered that question in a big way.
Right. Well, a lot of the guys we would speak to, most of them went on to like regular jobs and stuff. And I think we got the point. The first time we spoke to Hazel on the phone, he seemed pretty normal. In fact, he said he had a regular job and this and that. And the second time we called him, his mom was still alive, and noted that we'd have to call back at a better time because he was in jail. So that was definitely a step in the right direction.
What was the first time you physically met Hazel face-to-face and saw him perform?
Well, we saw him when everybody else did the last night of Folk City, because we drove down there, picked him up in 86, very early 86, right when the Out to Hunch album came out, and we brought him up and that was it. I mean, we brought him up, he played the last night of Folk City.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he was the MC as well, and like he had to introduce all these groups, and the groups would be like Yola Tango, and he'd go up, Yola Tango. He would like anything that was wild, but he couldn't say DBs. He kept saying, what? Teepees? What? Knee deep? What? You know, no, DBs, like, you know, a tape recorder. But he ended up doing it. He put on a great show that night, next night at Maxwell's, and then we did some recording, and he came down here with the Hound, or not here. The old station.
The old station,
two buildings ago.
In Orange Mo, as
yes.
Hazel put it.
Yes, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, the Hunch and Luncheon.
Yeah, we'll play something off that.
Yeah, great.
We have a cut off that.
Yeah. Now, Joe, when did you, when did you get hip to like the Hazel sounds? And I imagine the kind of sensibility exhibited in your artwork. There was a natural kinship there.
Yeah, well, I guess definitely the first time I came across him was, you know, through Norton Records. And I think it was, you know, the sound, you know, and this guy talking about cutting girls' heads off so they wouldn't eat no more hot dogs. But there was something so bizarre about, like, the way it was performed. And
you thought you were the only one doing that, right?
Yeah, but it was, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd seen, I was influenced by Kunga the Witch Doctor in the old Hubert's Museum, so he reminded me a little bit of the Wild Man at Hubert's Museum, but he had this amazing voice that was powerful, you know, and it seemed like, yeah, he really must be some guy eating commodity meat on the moon to produce a sound like that. And I would often play his music when I was painting. And then somewhere down the line, as I'm playing his music, I just ended up painting him. And I did this portrait of him. And I sent a copy to him, and he always thought it was the original when he would show people. So, and I finally met him during the filming of the documentary Rest in Pieces. In fact, when I agreed to the documentary, I had two stipulations. One was that they would film me doing an actual autopsy in Budapest, Hungary. And the other, that Hazel Atkins would provide at least some of the soundtrack for the film. And then on top of that, we also got him in the film, too, which was...
he's great in that.
Yeah, which was a fun experience.
Yeah.
The first time I actually met him, he was wearing a wig. He had been watching Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. He had rented it, but he just kept playing the movie over and over again. And when I first met him, he said he's not Hazel. He said, "My name is Norman," and he's carrying this knife around.
Wow. Well, there'll be plenty of Hazel anecdotes throughout the evening, and I got in the act too and brought along my Hazel Atkins fan club that I got from back in 1986, and it came postage due.
There you go.
And we had pictures of Hazel.
Running a tight ship.
That's right. And the Hazel newsletter with all sorts of interesting, pertinent information that we can get to a little later. But we're going to get to some music quickly. Billy, what do we hear in the first set?
Let's see. We start off with the legendary Chicken Walk, Got to Go with the Hits. And then we heard If You Want to Be My Baby, that great little Chuck Berry lick in there. We pulled one out of the archives, an unissued one called Get Off the Stove.
Great.
And ended up with the Can't Help It Blues.
Well, if people have been listening and hearing kind of smacking noises in the background, that's because there's a big bucket of chicken here in Hazel's honor. And
yeah.
It's deep fried, juicy, and delicious. So
as is everything on WFMU.
Right. So we thought naturally we'd have to jump into a track off the great Poultry in Motion album. And we got Chicken Shake lined up. And we're going to, again, have some special guests on a little later, but let's get to some music by the man, Hazel Atkins, on our special tribute show. Billy and Miriam here from Norton Records, Joel Coleman also in the studio, and several fun guests to follow. So let's get back to the music. Here's Hazel with Chicken Shake on WFMU.
She told a lie, now she danced, she need me, but she never sat up. I would go to chicken, chicken, chicken. Chicken, 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 let's chicken, chicken, chicken. what you do, it's a moving that chicken, chicken, baby. Baby can't ride with me.
go with me. You won't love me, baby, won't tell me like you used to do. I'm leaving, baby, I won't be back more. I'm leaving, baby, I won't be back more. Get out of my car, cause I don't love you no more.
Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, here to talk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, here to talk with me. Come on, pretty baby, here to walk and here to talk with me. Well, I love you, baby, you wanna know. I like the way that you wear your clothes. Come on, baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, and a walk and a talk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a talk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a talk with me. Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, walk and talk and walk and talk and walk and talk and talk to me. Love you, baby, love you so. I like the way that you wear your clothes. Come on, pretty baby, take a walk with me. Come on, pretty baby, here to talk to me. Come on, in a walk and in a talk and in a walk and in a walk and in a talk and in a walk and with me.
Me.
Hazel Atkins, who sadly passed away, took us all by surprise, and we thought we'd get together and pay tribute to the man, play a whole bunch of his records, and we've assembled an all-star panel here with Billy and Miriam from Norton Records, Joe Coleman, famed artist, and a booking impresario who's just stepped in. Todd Aphonic Todd is here as well, and everyone's gathered around a bucket of chicken. Mm-hmm. And we're playing lots of good records. What did we hear in that last set, Billy?
We started appropriately enough with Chicken Shake. Another unissued thing, Walking by Your Side, which was a pretty cool one. Get Out of My Car, Walk and Talk with Me, and This ADC.
All right. And among some of the things I brought in, an old poster from a show that Hazel did at Maxwell's, March 28th, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? 86?
1986.
Yeah. Wow. Any
Todd was the booking man. Let him tell it.
Any memories, Todd?
Well, a lot of people. One thing that seems to, I guess because a while ago, it's not at the forefront of people's memories when they've been talking about the haze in the last week or so. But that show a couple days before at Folk City on the Wednesday night, it was the last night of Folk City, and I'd been doing a thing called the Big Combo Series there for about 15 months, and we did a big blowout the last night with about seven or eight acts, and Hazel was on the bill. That was his first time. That was his first time ever playing in New York, right?
Yeah.
He never played there back in the day. And he was actually the last act to perform at Folk City. The name, you know, people think of Folk City, I guess they'll think of Dylan or Dave Van Ronk, but another great American folk artist, Hazel Atkins, was
there
the last artist to perform there.
Wow.
And, you know, that's when we got to, well, at least, yeah.
Well, we told him it was a place where Bob Dylan started playing. He wanted to know if Bob was on the bill last night, but it
opening.
Was better than that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been allowed.
Ira Kaplan was there. I told Hazel that was Bob Dylan, and
that was good enough
there
for him.
There you go.
So how many Hazel shows did you book, you think?
Would that be count? There's actually a videotape circulating. I imagine you guys have one of time. I was roommates with the legendary Vince Bernicevic at the time, and there's a videotape of him playing in our apartment.
That's great.
If you count that, had to be somewhere in the vicinity of 15, 16 shows, I would think. Not including some of the ones that that didn't happen. You know, we had a there were a few false starts that prompted the time that Billy and myself drove down to pick him up. Then Miriam and Billy took him back. But that was
remember the great thing? We drove down to pick him up, and we went out. We started up the car, and we're going, where is he? Where is he? You know, and then we went back in. And he was in bed under the covers. He went back to sleep.
Can't blame him.
Yeah.
Well, at all those shows, Todd, you've done all those shows. I'm sure Hazel ranks up there as one of the more unique and inspired performers you ever worked with.
Oh, definitely. You know, like a lot of, you know, I don't know if this is the right word or not, but, you know, we'll say eccentric performers. he could run. He ran the gamut. I mean, there were nights when, you know, you were witnessing what you thought was, you know, one of the greatest things you'd ever see in your life. And the nights, you know, when he wasn't on, it was still, if you were seeing him for the first time, you'd probably be pretty impressed. But if you were judging it against the great shows that you saw, it wasn't up to those. But you know, he always gave his all. I had to always do my best to keep the stage keep the stage nice and cool.
Yeah.
You know, there was one set I think it was at maybe at Under Acme where the set probably lasted 3 hours, but it was only about 25 minutes of music because he kept on walking off the stage because he was hot.
Well, he was always very real and genuine, you know.
And Todd was up there with us in Canada on that big tour up there. That was was really wild.
One of my one moment I always think of that was I don't know if you did you tell him what he said when people when you asked if he wanted to change his clothes.
Oh yeah, he was opening for Public Image.
Wow.
And there was like a line going down the street after the sound check, and Hazel was wearing a football jersey. So he wanted to go put his Western shirt on, so we go out the side door, and he sizes up the line. He goes, I don't know if I'm going to change. People in this town don't seem to care what they look like. You know? He knew, because the show was sold out before he got added on the bill. So he knew that he really had to win the crowd over, but he really did.
Wow.
And the Toronto paper the next day, I remember the review, the Public Image was pretty lukewarm at best, but the last little paragraph was about Hazel Atkins, and I remember the sentence to this day. It said, booking this mad busker was an act of inspiration.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great. Well, thanks for sharing those memories, Todd. And sure. I don't think we have any coleslaw, but there's still more chicken. Joe, you wanted to say a few things?
Yeah, it's well, the wild man like Hazel. You don't necessarily think of his sad songs, but his sad songs are some of the most powerful and moving. You know, when we were driving to the funeral, and we're up in the mountains in West Virginia, and it's pouring rain, and it's foggy. Billy's driving. He can hardly see. And, and, you know, we've been playing Hazel's music, and all of a sudden, Hazel comes on, and he starts singing, Will You Miss Me? And at that point, it just really hit me that he was gone, and it was a really poignant moment, and it's... And you're going to play some of his really sad music now.
So. Yeah, it was a cover of the Carter Family song.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll switch gears.
That's what he always said about Hazel, equally at home with the Carter Family and the Adams Family.
Well, Billy, on that note, we'll jump into some Hazel ballads here. We're paying tribute to our friend and hero, Hazel Atkins, again, who sadly passed away. It's just our honor to be able here to play his music for you, and got some more special guests coming up, and some more weird stories, so do stay tuned. Here's Hazel. Thank you.
rush on my long evening. She will play some place on my grave. Will you miss me? Will you miss me when I'm gone?
Do this thing again, what was it? So lonesome with the head bowed so low, 'cause it was time for them to part and one go his way and the other go her way. I bowed my head and I prayed that someday we all would ever have to part again. And why you've gone, I don't know. I couldn't say, 'cause they had broken heart. I feel so lonely while they talk. I couldn't hardly hold the tears that wanted to flow. I wonder why we parted. Wonder why we said goodbye. I wonder why we said goodbye.
Man, that's great.
The late Hazel Atkins. That's a very unique cut, isn't it, Billy?
Yeah. It's called They Had Broken Hearts.
And it was Hazel on organ.
That's right.
Probably his only known recording on organ, right?
The Phantom of Boone County.
Yeah, there you go. I think so.
Yeah. What else do we have in that set?
Love Taker, where he was doing those owl noises and stuff. And at the beginning, by Joe's request, Will You Miss Me?
We're paying tribute to Hazel Atkins today on A Fool's Paradise. We've got Billy and Miriam from Norton Records and Joe Coleman also here. And I thought we would play a little interview I conducted yesterday. I was able to track down Jesco White, Hazel's longtime neighbor and comrade. And Jesco, not surprisingly, had
the dancing outlaw.
Yeah, he had some exceptional insight to Hazel.
The thing you should maybe preface it with was Hazel in the early '60s, around 1962, had a dancing act with Jesco's father, D. Ray, Donnie Ray. He went by the name D. Ray, and Jesco's dad would dance in a skeleton outfit while Hazel played Chicken Walk.
Yeah, Jesco makes mention of it.
Yeah, and they got second prize on a TV show. We've got the photo here with them receiving the prize, but
man,
I'd love to know what beat that out.
That is my kind of entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? Well, let's catch up with Jesco with a brief interview I did with the man yesterday as we pay tribute to Hazel Atkins on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. Right now we've got Jesco White, the dancing outlaw, who was not only a fellow West Virginia performer, but he was also Hazel Atkins' neighbor. And Jesco just wanted to know your thoughts about Hazel as a friend and a neighbor.
He was a real nice friend and a real nice person that anyone on this planet could ever meet. He was just nice going guy and a cut up with everybody. It made him happy to see other people happy. And when he played music, he done the best he could to please people and to give them what they wanted to hear. If he didn't know it, he'd make it up for them. And he started out playing in the early 50s. And as a young boy, and my daddy knowed him when he was real young, when he first started out, he danced for him in the beer joints down in Boone County. And from that on, then I met Hassel through my daddy. Then I danced two or three times for him in the beer joints. And we really'd rock a place, and we'd get together. And he liked me just like he did my daddy. And we never had no kind words words against each other or nothing. He was just good to everybody, and we was good to him. Man, we all stuck together, poor as we was, and just rocked. And to me, he'll always be the king hillbilly blues player. In my mind, Hassel will be the king of that, no matter who got it started. But the way he played it in a white man's version is he was the best.
And maybe for the benefit of some people who didn't have a chance to see Hazel perform live, could you maybe describe Hazel as a performer and also what he meant to music traditions there in West Virginia?
Oh, everybody in West Virginia loved Hassel, but some of the people didn't like him or like his type of music, but most of the teenagers went wild over it. And most of the older people knowed Hassel liked him. But other people just didn't like Hassel. I don't know who they are. I just don't understand that anybody wouldn't like him because he never did nothing no one's I know of. But try to survive and make a living in these beer joints playing music. And, you know, to get money to buy groceries and stuff with, to survive.
And how was Hazel as a neighbor? I know you lived next to him for quite a while.
He was a type of man, liked friends to come over now and then, but not all the time. And he liked his privacy since he's famous and all. And sometimes he just liked to, you know, get some rest and not be running the ground. And if he could get that kind of respect, and when you did visit him, he'd make up for it and put you on a show for you and play music with you and, you know, have a good time with everybody and drink and joke and carry on, you know, just like anybody would that's got their private moments together. He was just a fabulous man and, I mean, a good friend that I lost. It hurt me, and I still can't believe in my mind that it's real. Hassel's really gone. It just seems like a joke or a dream to me because, to me, I'm thinking he's somewhere else playing music right now in Chicago or New York.
Yeah, it was really sad, the tragic way that he left us.
I know, and he's gone but not forgotten.
Any favorite Hazel songs or favorite Hazel memories that you've got from over the years?
Yes, sir. I've got a video of Hassel, and I recently got one from Ron Smith, a friend of Hassel's and also a friend of mine from Richmond, Virginia, that went to his wakes to show our respects. He gave me a copy of Hassel's video in North Carolina. It's the one I didn't have, so I give him a copy of mine for a copy of his, and it's just where he played music local in different places. And got, you know, me, a little bit of me, too. And after all, I'm a legend, too, but I can't go on performing for myself on account of my health and difficult things, you know, private things. But anyway, like I say, Hassel will live in my heart forever as a friend and a good blues player.
Well, Jesco, just want to thank you so much for spending a little time with us and sharing your thoughts on Hassel.
Well, I sure appreciate you calling, and everything I've told you is the truth. And like I say, he was a true brother. He rocked to the end. And he just made everybody happy, and we'd go to the beer joints and watch him. And you couldn't sit still and you hear a Hassel blow. You'd have to get up there and tap dance or boogie-woogie some way. I mean, they rock and roll, man. It's like shake, rattle, and roll. If you don't do right, you just save your daggone soul. I mean, he made everybody happy and, you know, joy. And that's what I'll miss and cherish my heart of him forever.
Well, you know, his passing is tragic, of course, but we also have to recognize that he was able to spend a whole life playing music and doing pretty much what he loved doing.
He done that for all of his life, so I know him. He was 67 or 68 years old when he died. I believe around that time frame his at age, about... He's 2 years older than my wife is, and, you know, I just can't believe it. He's gone. But I figure before this whole thing's over, somebody, I'm not saying who or whatever, I'm just guessing at this, might write a song about Hassel, you know, about, you know, the feeling of it and the way he was and the way they really could, you know, remember him with what, you know, little mind they have left, which ain't very much, but... you know, somebody, I think, I don't know who it is, might make a song about him. He had some famous people, you know, like musicians loved Hassel, too, as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's remarkable to think of Hassel's wide-reaching influence all the way there from Boone County.
That's right, and it surprised me. I can... remember everything I've told you, but it's the truth, and that's the way I can remember of him, as knowing him as a friend. He was just a wild, wacky, crazy, Boone County blues playing hillbilly rocker.
Wonderful wild man.
And he was a wild man. They'd always call Hassel the wild man of Boone County. And everybody'd like to get wild. If you wasn't wild, you'd get wild if you was around Hassel. He put a high test in your tank, man, without touching you.
Well, that will be his legacy.
Yeah, I couldn't sit still and I'd hear him play. I'd have to get up there and dance, and they said I look like a kangaroo hopping. But they loved it, you know, what we did doing there. They'd sit down and let me and Hassel have the floor. And they couldn't out-tap dance. I mean, nobody in the place could tap dance. They could just wiggle and shake their butts. But I danced, you know, in a different way to his music, and he liked it like my daddy did. But I never could outdance my daddy. I've tried and tried, never could outdance him. He was a king of tap dancing. And Hassel's a king's of blues playing in a white man's version.
Now, we mentioned that you were Hassel's next-door neighbor for quite a while. Could you describe Hassel's house? I mean, he also operated a hotel there for a little while.
Yeah, he had a Hayes Hotel. It was called, I think, Hassel's Hotel. That was the house he was born in. It was his mom in his house where he lived at first before he got his trailers. And then he had his main trailer after his mommy died out behind a little shanty, and he kept his stuff out in that little house. Stuff, you know, he had for years, you know, like records and stuff he made. And he said he'd send them out to people to try to get help to get him started, and never did go no whore from her, but he just kept playing and playing. And he's talking himself on a video about Rob been ripped off and stuff, you know, where he'd send his records out and never got no fur by anybody helping him like that. He just come famous as he was after that then.
And do you know anything about a hair hole that he had there? He often talked about that.
Oh, had what?
A hair hole, a hole that he put, he'd gather some hair?
Oh, yeah, to put in. I don't really know. Hassel had all kind of wild, wacky, crazy things, and when you'd go to visit him, he'd show you these things, explain to you what he was. When I'd go there, he'd just want to drink a beer with you and some coffee and laugh and carry on, then show you some stuff where it would be funny to anybody, you know, to see. Like something out of this world but nobody's seen. And I ain't seen nothing yet, ain't nobody seen, but he showed some weird, crazy stuff, you know, like a man's arm cut off or a leg, you know, but it wasn't real. There's this like Halloween stuff, rubber, and the leg would, they'd look real, and he'd have them hanging. That's the way he'd decorate his pad, man. And he made that song, I Want Your Head Tonight. I want to put it on my wall about 10:30. He wrote a song about these rubber characters, you know, like a Halloween head hanging on the wall. But it looked just like a real person's head cut off. And Hassel just dying laughing, you know, when people see that, they'd flip out, man, laughing. They'd say, God, that looks like a real person's head, Hassel. He said, I know that reason I like it. He said, that's the reason that song come out good, I Want Your Head Tonight. And that's, I guess, the reason he wrote them songs, man. He was just a wild character.
Now, I must imagine, as a fellow resident of Boone County, you must have been really proud to have Hassel there in Boone County.
Yeah, he was just a cool person to everybody, and we'd all go out and we'd get a chance to know that he'd be playing in a local beer joint somewhere. We'd go out and see him. He'd rock, man, till the doors locked, make him a couple hundred for gas and cigarettes. He'd be like Willie Nelson, pull out to the next place. But anyway, he's just the finest man anybody could meet. He's just wild and cool.
Well, Jesco, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on Hassel. It was really nice of you.
Well, I really appreciate you calling, because I'd want you to know, or somebody to know that was fans of Hassel, how I feel about him, too, because they wasn't the only ones fans. I am, too, and just like I said, he'll be missed dearly in my heart forever. He'll never die as long as I'm living, because Hassel will live in my mind and heart, and I'll remember him from the music and the carrying on that we did together, which was just for fun and to make a dollar or two to have a good time. To stay, you know, straight. And we never could stay too straight, but it kept us hanging in there.
Well, let's listen to some of that great music from Hassel right now. Jesco, thanks again so much.
Okay, you're sure welcome.
Oh, yeah. Truly Ruly, Hazel Atkins, and had a nice visit there from Jesco.
That was great. Yeah.
He kind of gives you the Boone County experience there.
It was great. The map of the stars in Boone County, it's not a big map, but right. It's, you know, once you find it, you're really hitting gold.
You're in for some surprises. Yes. Now, during the course of that interview, I tried to get some info about the hair hole. Jesco wasn't, fully disclosing the hair hole. But, Miriam, you have some insight into the hair hole,
yes,
right?
I researched the hair hole story in particular. That touched a nerve. And the whole story with it was that Hazel was starting to ask around for hair from people that we like the hair of, I guess, and mostly long-haired girls. I believe that your wife Coco donated a
yeah, he got a good handful.
Yeah. And the hole was kind of a romantic situation where, you know, the hair of people that he cared about went into this hole in the floorboard. So I asked him, how about sending me a lock of your hair? And he said, okay, sure. And later on that week, a package arrived with an immense amount of hair. I mean, I've got quite a large bag of hair if anybody's interested in a commemorative...
It's like a gorilla suit.
A commemorative lock to perhaps put in a locket like somebody
yeah,
we know
sure,
here.
I
think that...
Yeah, Hazel hair.
Yeah, it's kind of a magical and romantic kind of a notion there. I mean, people, you know, you listen to the crazy wild stuff that Hazel did, and it's funny, and it's fantastic, and it gets you going, it's entertaining and all of that. And then there's the sad side that Joe was talking about. It's like the ultimate, like they say, the ultimate like country/blues moaner, you know. I don't think anybody else could deliver from the heart like he could. But he also was really, really proud of his own world, you know, Boone County. And, you know, sometimes we would talk about the fact that there really ought to be a TV show like Dukes of Hazzard or something that was really just like Boone County, you know, Atkins of Boone County, because every phone conversation and every in-person conversation, he would divulge some new semblance of mania that was going on in his neck of the proverbial woods. And we always learned about the law. We're about to experience
all the police. He would dedicate the. He said, "You know, you gotta be cool with the police," and they all loved him. So he had songs about them all.
Yeah,
Donio, Duncan's. Who's the one? Big Red's Totten and Big Red Satellite.
Right, that's great.
So,
there was a great line that I could relate to about ain't no back doorknobs back here, where he was. Expressing the situation of going to the police station after being arrested and not being able to get out of the back of the car. And, of course, that, you know, I told him that was a situation that was near and dear to my heart when the Freddie Cannon situation arose. And his first comment was, I like Freddie Cannon.
Yeah, there you go.
Him and what army?
Yeah.
But at any rate, he did
Miriam,
call.
Miriam and Michelle, the only two people arrested for attacking Freddie Cannon.
Hey, right. There should be more.
Absolutely.
But he did call the attention of to us of many things, you know, political stuff that was going on locally and nationally and internationally, and also a particular situation in his neck of the woods at that time and possibly still, which was the gas huffing problem. One particular story that he shared was that there was two young girls out on his porch and with some saturated rags huffing away, and he chased them away because he really didn't like that kind of a thing going on. And he heard later that one of the gals, you know, who was unhappily stomping off the property, had lit up a cigarette and... that was quite a scorching tale.
Man, yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, well, I remember Hazel telling me about, you know, people staying at the Hazel Hotel, well-intentioned, you know, like European rockabilly fans would show up, and he'd often make a point of scaring them,
mm-hmm.
like at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like looking through the window and... checking things out there. So all part of the Hazel Hotel experience.
Yeah, and good to teach people a lesson that they should be aware at all times.
yes, absolutely.
He would also send every record he made to the White House.
Oh, right. And you've got a letter from Richard Nixon.
Also one from Tip O'Neill. He had asked for the Kennedys' addresses, and there's Tip O'Neill gave him all the Kennedys' addresses. But he explained it to me, and it makes sense. He said because, you know, he was getting money from the government, so he wanted the government to know he was doing something.
That's right.
It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keeping the local law enforcement people, happy and so on, often pays off. As with Hazel, one year we had sent him a 16-foot coiled fire hose, basically, of meat as a holiday gift, and Hazel didn't get it. And we were like, well, what could have possibly happened to it? And a couple of weeks later, he let us know that that it had been stolen. And this could be discerned because the package was found with his address on it. The police had found it, but the meat was missing. So,
case of the stolen meat coil.
Yeah, we don't quite know who ate the meat, but it's gone.
Hey, we're getting a bunch of emails in here, which is great. You can send them in to rex@wfmu.org. And I think maybe we get back to some more music here. We get something queued up.
They're all Rex's eBay winnings for next week's show.
Ooh, yeah. Let me get to those. So we got some stuff lined up for the next set.
Let's send one out to the local police officer, Donahoe. He was, I guess, Hazel's nemesis in the old days, and he went up in the ranks to, you know, be one of the heads of the police in all of West Virginia. Sent Hazel a nice letter years later.
Wow.
Saying, you know, he was glad to hear Hayes was doing well, and, you know, he remembered the old nights when he'd come in to chase everybody out of the place, and Hazel would launch into the Donahoe boogie.
Well, that's what we got queued up right here on WFMU, paying tribute to Hazel Atkins. Going to get to more of his records, more stories, and a couple more special guests as we continue here on Fool's Paradise.